This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Heart Greens. Helping to support healthy blood pressure and circulation just became hassle-free. Introducing Heart Greens, the functional food that you drink using the same dark leafy greens recommended by both the DASH and Mediterranean diets. Get a free canister of Heart Greens with your first order and a 100% money-back guarantee. Heart Greens even guarantees you'll love the taste. Call 800-951-8940. That's 800-951-8940. Or visit IntelligentGreens.com. That's IntelligentGreens.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin. I'm a registered dietitian here at the Hoffman Center. I work alongside Dr. Hoffman every day. We see patients. If you're interested in becoming a patient, please call our office, 212-779-1744. You can inquire there or go to drhoffman.com for more information. I thank you for your questions and your comments. And you can email me at radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I've got a question, an email question from Lisa. Lisa writes, "Hi, Layla. I have a question for you. I have low thyroid, and I'm on a very low dose of Armour Thyroid, only 30 milligrams. Before I'd started taking Armour Thyroid, I found that a good amount of iodine in the form of kelp, 250 to 1,000 micrograms daily, helped tremendously and completely stopped the weird, not normal for me sadness I'd been experiencing for almost a year prior to taking it. And she writes in parenthesis, that sadness and the lack of my outer eyebrows was what tipped me off to having a thyroid issue. Those with hypothyroidism, a clue. Besides, I'll name the classic symptoms, feeling blue, that's out of character for you. You're not a depressed person. You're not a sad or melancholy person. This is a common symptom of hypothyroidism. Losing the outer third of your eyebrows. Pay attention to that. I'm not talking about plucking them. I'm talking about them being shed away. The outer third of the eyebrows can be a classic symptom of any thyroid disease, whether it's hypothyroidism or hyperthyroidism, including the autoimmune Graves' disease, as well as the autoimmune Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Other common symptoms of hypothyroidism, and I know you've heard me talk about hypothyroidism before, very dry skin, shedding of the hair on your head, constipation. These are the most common ones. Anyway, so Lisa's found some relief in the past taking iodine in the form of kelp, which you could find at your local health food store, taking about 1,000 micrograms daily. That's 1 gram or milligram. That's 1 milligram, okay, before starting to take Armour Thyroid. Now, Lisa writes, in addition, I had also stopped eating any foods high in phytoestrogens. Soy, of course, chickpeas, hemp, flax, most legumes in general, etc. I also eliminated most cruciferous vegetables because I do believe that even cooked, they'd affect me. Let me take the time to tell you about the vegetables that Lisa's talking about. Many of them are cruciferous vegetables. They're in the brassica family of vegetables, B-R-A-S-S-I-C-A, family of vegetables that include kale, kohlrabi, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage. Okay? So many of these they tend to be goitrogenic in nature, but especially when they're eaten raw frequently. Now, for the most part, cooking these vegetables helps to diminish their goitrogenic potential so that most people are not affected. Lisa says that even cooked, she'd feel like they'd affect her. Lisa, I believe you. Everybody is different. Different strokes for different folks. So she continues to say, all of this has helped me feel great, happy, has kept my metabolism going very well. The only negative thing is, since I'm a 58-year-old woman and had some vaginal dryness before, now that I don't eat any phytoestrogens, or at least not the biggest ones, that dryness is much worse. I've also developed a mild case of burning mouth syndrome. I'm quite sure it's due to the lack of estrogen. Lisa, you may be right. And I'm going to get into all of these topics that you're asking me about. Perhaps, she says, I should start eating small amounts a few times a week, a little hummus here and there, some flax in my salad, perhaps. That's a good idea. Now, let me address some of these points for our listeners. Hypothyroidism, you heard me describe, and things that help besides thyroid replacement are things like iodine. Iodine, be careful, everyone. Iodine can be a double-edged sword because too much iodine in a susceptible individual may cause further sluggish thyroid. Lisa did not have this experience. She found that this amount, the 1 milligram of kelp, helped her. Megadoses of iodine, we're talking about 12 milligrams, which even when Dr. Hoffman prescribes it, would only prescribe it maybe to take twice weekly, like on a Sunday and a Thursday. 12 milligrams, remember, is 12,000 micrograms. So, getting back to the next issue, Lisa talks about not eating any phytoestrogens. Let's talk about phytoestrogens. There are naturally occurring estrogens in our food. And phyto is from the Greek phyton, meaning plant. And a phytoestrogen is a naturally occurring plant nutrient that exerts an estrogen-like action on the body. Scientists have discovered hundreds of phytoestrogens, including soybeans, whole grains, seeds, especially flax, and nuts, especially walnuts, and many herbs. Now, medical research has shown numerous benefits associated with these phytoestrogens from our food. A study published in the journal Menopause showed that half the women who participated ate a diet rich in phytoestrogens such as soy and flax, while half ate a standard diet. In the group that ate the phytoestrogen-rich diet, the menopausal symptoms such as hot flashes and vaginal dryness decreased significantly. Now, we know the biggest source of phytoestrogen is probably soy. Soy is also contraindicated, meaning not good for those with hypothyroidism, because it's also the biggest goitrogen, right? So, a study conducted in Winston-Salem, researchers found a significant reduction in menopausal hot flashes when women supplemented their diets with fermented soy. Now, fermenting the soy helps to deactivate its goitrogenic potential, but I'm still not a big fan of this, especially when used frequently by those with hypothyroidism. So Lisa, I would not recommend any kind of soy for you, except on occasion. On occasion, you could likely eat anything you want. So, the reason about the fermented soy, when presenting their findings at an American Heart Association annual scientific sessions, a spokesperson for the research group noted that Japanese women who consume relatively high amounts of fermented soy report only 1/8 as many menopausal symptoms as American women. So, major phytonutrients that have been studied for their estrogen-like activity are the two classes of nutrients known as isoflavonoids, most notably genistein, daisin, pardon me, from soybeans, and lignans. Lignans come from flax and nuts, like a supplement called Breval, which is flax lignans. These nutrients, however, are converted by our microbiome, our established flora in our gut, the beneficial bacteria of the digestive tract. So these nutrients are converted by our flora into compounds that have estrogen-like actions. And to derive the most benefit from these phytonutrients, the flora of the intestinal tract must be in a healthy balance. And as we know, a lot of our healthy beneficial bacteria is killed off by many drugs that women use, especially antibiotics. So even if you've had a round of antibiotics, Lisa, your flora is probably not there enough to help in the conversion of, you know, the flaxseed in your salad or the ground flax meal or some of the other phytoestrogenic foods to help convert that for you. So let's talk about which foods. Phytoestrogen content varies in different foods and may vary significantly within the same food groups. For instance, soy beverages or tofu. Again, soy and tofu are not recommended for Lisa because of established hypothyroidism. So, legumes, whole grain cereals, some seeds are high in phytoestrogen. And a much more comprehensive list of foods known to contain phytoestrogen include linseed, which is flax, sesame seeds, also a nice source of vitamin E, wheat, berries, oats, barley. Barley is a gluten grain for those who have to be careful. Dried beans, lentils, yams, rice, alfalfa, mung beans, apples, carrots, wheat germ, pomegranate, rice bran, ginseng, bourbon and beer. A shot in a beer, anyone? Bourbon and beer. Well, we know that alcohol can be very, very estrogenic anyway. And fennel and anise, the licorice-tasting herb anise and fennel. So phytoestrogens are also found in herbs. Many of them, here are some, black cohosh, dong quai, red clover, alfalfa, licorice, Korean ginseng, American ginseng, kudzu root, Mexican wild yam. And we know that many natural estrogen creams may contain wild yam, which is not actually a phytoestrogen, but contains a phytonutrient that is a precursor for progesterone. Now, here's the thing. With regard to the herbs I just mentioned, especially with the first one, I said black cohosh, you don't want to take these indiscriminately. You want some supervision. There may be drawbacks. I know that with black cohosh, you can't just take it forever and ever and ever to combat vaginal dryness or hot flashes because it may cause liver enzymes to go up. So we have to be careful in terms of how certain of these herbs, but particularly black cohosh, may affect the liver. That's why I always recommend supervision when taking herbs. So these are some of the foods that Lisa can have, the ones I mentioned, to increase the phytoestrogens. Now, if that doesn't give you relief, Lisa, what I would then recommend is Qi suppositories. This is a wonderful suppository that provides soothing relief to vaginal dryness in women unwilling or unable to use estrogen after menopause. The Qi powder suppositories are prepared with a base derived from coconut and palm oils. These are good oils. And each suppository supplies about 30 international units, 30 IU, of a natural source vitamin E, which includes D-alpha tocopherol, acetate, and mixed tocopherols. All right? So how to use these suppositories? You insert one suppository as needed one or more times daily to soothe minor irritation. This is a vaginal suppository. This is not a laxative. They're relatively inexpensive. You could check that out at drhoffman.com. Now, another issue that Lisa talks about is burning mouth syndrome. She states in her email, "I've also developed a mild case of burning mouth syndrome." She says, "I'm quite sure it's due to the lack of estrogen." It could be, Lisa. Absolutely. It's known to be a less common postmenopausal symptom. And because Lisa's 58, I'm assuming she's postmenopausal, although I've known women who've menstruated to almost 60. So, causes of burning mouth syndrome. I want to state some obvious things, first of all, and what it is in particular, and what may help it. So, burning mouth syndrome is a burning pain in the mouth that may occur every day for months or longer. Doctors and dentists do not have a specific test for burning mouth syndrome, which makes it hard to diagnose. They could look in our mouths, but they won't necessarily see anything that could be the culprit. Now, I'm not talking about those of you who have had dental work and have residual pain, a burning or tingling sensation, maybe from ill-fitting dentures or bridges. I'm not talking about that. This is something else. And no specific treatment works for all people. However, your doctor can prescribe medicine to help you manage your mouth pain or dry mouth or other symptoms. And Lisa, a dry mouth may cause burning mouth syndrome. So make sure that you don't have dry mouth. I'm wondering if maybe a dry mouth may be caused if your thyroid dose has not been tweaked to an optimal level for you. So make sure that you're seeing your doctor or endocrinologist to get your thyroid tested twice a year would be optimal. So the main symptom of burning mouth syndrome is pain in the mouth that's burning, scalding, or tingling. The pain may also be a feeling of numbness. Other symptoms include a dry mouth or altered taste in the mouth. I would ask Lisa if she's experiencing altered taste. Are foods tasting differently? So burning mouth syndrome can be painful. Usually the tongue is affected, but the pain may also be in the lips or the roof of the mouth or throughout the mouth. Burning mouth syndrome can last for months or even years. Some people feel constant pain every day. For others, pain increases throughout the day. And for many people, the pain is reduced when eating or drinking. Okay. So as I stated earlier, it's hard to diagnose because a doctor or a dentist, while doing a physical exam, an oral exam, may not see anything. But specialists who diagnose burning mouth syndrome include dentists who specialize in oral medicine or oral surgery. So, Lisa, rule out these other reasons for burning mouth syndrome. Let's not assume that it may be from low estrogen. Other doctors that may help you are ear, nose, and throat specialists, gastroenterologists, or even dermatologists. So, there are lots of tests that can be run, blood tests to check for certain medical problems, oral swab tests, allergy tests, saliva flow test, right? So, primary burning mouth syndrome, if tests don't reveal an underlying medical problem, the diagnosis primary burning mouth syndrome. And experts believe that primary burning mouth syndrome is caused by damage to the nerves that control pain and taste. Now, treatment for this, besides something like gabapentin or Neurontin, you know, to deal with the nerves that control pain and taste, burning mouth syndrome is often caused by deficiency in B vitamins. It could be that taking a B complex daily can lessen the severity of your burning mouth syndrome or cure it altogether. Another very, very helpful nutrient is the antioxidant alpha-lipoic acid. Alpha-lipoic acid has been shown to be very, very helpful in burning mouth syndrome. So try these vitamins, a B complex and some alpha-lipoic acid. Now, secondary burning mouth syndrome, certain medical conditions can cause burning mouth syndrome, and treating the medical problem will cure the secondary burning mouth syndrome. Common causes, common conditions, hormonal changes, like from diabetes or a thyroid problem. So again, making sure your thyroid labs are where they should be, at optimal numbers. You do that with your doctor. Allergies to dental products, dental materials, dry mouth that can be caused by certain disorders like Sjogren's syndrome, certain drug treatments, maybe radiation therapy for cancer could be causing the dry mouth and the secondary burning mouth syndrome. Many common drugs that are taken can cause a dry mouth, certain heart medicines, blood pressure medications, okay? Nutritional deficiencies, I just talked to you about the B vitamins. Low iron may cause burning mouth syndrome. So Lisa, check your iron levels. And even if you don't have overt anemia, which can be shown with a CBC or a complete blood count, check your ferritin levels. You want ferritin around 70 to 90. And you want that ferritin around 70 or 90 at least to support your thyroid. An infection in the mouth, such as a yeast infection, can cause burning mouth and acid reflux. So many of these things, your mouthwash, if you're a mouthwash user, many mouthwashes contain alcohol. This dries the mouth. This may cause your burning mouth syndrome. It can be this simple, believe it or not. Certain hot and spicy foods. Well, Lisa, I hope you found my answer comprehensive. Short of a full consult with me and your doctor, so we could look further as to what may be the cause. You know, this is it for a podcast, but I thank you very, very much for your question, and I wish you the best of luck in taking care of these discomforts. Thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141. Or tryzona.com.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.